97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill, Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Bloodshed in Ukraine will stop, but an all-night negotiating session in Minsk, Belarus, has led to a ceasefire agreement. Vladimir Putin, who took part in talks with the leaders of France, Germany, and Ukraine, said the fighting between Ukrainian troops and rebels backed by Russia would stop at midnight tomorrow night.
This is the second Minsk agreement, and the first one included a ceasefire, too. So I think people are going to be much more skeptical this time that Russia is going to pull its tanks out. It's going to pull its equipment out.
CBS's Terry Schultz in Brussels. In London, international relations professor Margot Light says the rebels may not listen to Putin.
He may well have armed them, but he doesn't have complete control of their movements. He cannot guarantee they will respect the ceasefire, and I think this is going to be a terrible problem.
Distinguished CBS News 60 Minutes correspondent Bob Simon, who died last night, never ran from danger. He covered wars in the Middle East and Vietnam.
We're going to pick up an American. All we know about him is that he's at Firebase Andrews, and that he's been hit by shrapnel.
Ironically, Simon lost his life riding in a livery car that crashed on a street in New York City. He was 73. 60 Minutes colleague Leslie Stahl.
I don't say this lightly. I think he was the finest Middle East correspondent, certainly on television news.
In a half century of reporting, Simon earned 27 Emmy Awards by taking his audience with him to South Africa on the day Nelson Mandela was released from prison.
After 27 years, his head was high and his fist was clenched.
60 Minutes executive editor Jeff Thager.
He just knew how to tell a story. He was just great at that. A real giant.
Bob Simon. A bill approving construction of the Keystone oil pipeline is on its way to the White House. After clearing the House, it faces a threatened veto.
25 gets us started, and right after that,
when all the numbers were drawn, there were three winning tickets in a $564 million Powerball lottery jackpot. The winners were sold in North Carolina, Texas, and Puerto Rico. Thousands of San Francisco subway riders may have been exposed to measles. CBS's Heather Bosch is live with the latest.
An infected commuter rode on the Bay Area rapid transit system for 3 days last week.
Measles is airborne and could stay in that car for up to 1 to 2 hours after that individual left that car.
The local health department's Erica Jensen says that means up to 50,000 people could have been exposed. 172 cases of measles have been confirmed in 19 states, most of them in California, where an outbreak was linked to Disneyland.
West Coast ports that handle $1 trillion worth of cargo each year will be eerily quiet the next few days. Shipping companies say dock workers have essentially been getting paid to be on strike during a slowdown, so they've decided to impose a partial lockout. Craig Merrilies is a union leader.
Really serious. It's the kind of thing that hurts a lot of people, including small business people, workers, and the community.
S&P futures are up 10 points. This is CBS News.
The battery, modern day fire, powering everything from remote control cars to the car in your garage. So when your car battery is reaching the end of the line, or you're wondering whether it is, stop by Advance Auto Parts. We'll test your old one for you, free of charge. And if you purchase a new AutoCraft battery, we'll install it for free. Only if you'd like us to, of course. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back to the garage.
Most vehicles, most locations. See store for details.
Wearing glasses with Crizal No Glare lenses can make a big difference in your vision, because neither scratching desert sands nor the waves of a raging river can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For superior water, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Plus, Crizal gives you 25 times more UV protection than not wearing glasses. Crizal, live life in the clear. Ask for them at your eye care professional or learn more at Crizal.com.
There's one more place in England where smokers can't light up. CBS's Larry Miller has the story from London.
Smoking in cars with children under 18 has been banned in England. It doesn't matter if the windows are open, there's still an $80 fine. Chief Medical Officer Sally Davies says doctors see nearly 1,000 children a day suffering from the effects of secondhand smoke.
It's asthma, it's infections, lung, middle ear disease, increased meningitis, cot deaths. We don't want to see that. We need to protect our children.
Electronic cigarette smoking, known as vaping, is not yet banned, but Davey says it might be in the future. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
Here at home, the American Cancer Society has raised its estimate of how many people smoking kills in the course of a year by as many as 120,000 lives lost. It says smokers die on average more than a decade earlier than non-smokers. Smoking accounts for one of every five deaths. Frank Setapani, CBS News.
Last year, the pros at your Ford dealer performed the works over 3 million times. So you can be confident your Ford is getting expert service. Confident enough to wear red to a bullfight.
Here, boy.
Right now, get the works for $39.95 or less, minus a $10 mail-in rebate, making it just $29.95. Ford service. Go with confidence.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. Rebate by prepaid debit card. See participating Ford dealer for exclusions and rebate details through 3/31/15.
What fuels you? Here's Kim going downtown for a dance class. Going to her daughter's soccer game.
Come on, Katie, you can do it! Woo-hoo!
Kim fuels up at Exxon and Mobil stations, where our quality gasoline helps improve fuel economy, and where she could win $1,000 in free Exxon Mobil gift cards just by telling us what fuels her, like dance class or her kids. 10 weekly winners. Full details at Exxon.com or Mobil.com. Exxon and Mobil. Energy lives here.
No purchase necessary. Ends April 7, 2015. Restrictions apply. Actual fuel economy benefits may vary.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
This morning on WCHL, thousands filled the pit at the university on a chilly Wednesday evening to pay tribute to three young Muslim college students who were gunned down the day before in Chapel Hill, allegedly over a parking dispute. University and town leaders gathered at UNC to express their sorrow over those deaths last night.
I don't know of anything that is more difficult to experience than the loss of a young life.
And the wife of Craig Stephen Hicks, the man arrested on Tuesday night and charged with first-degree murder, denies that her husband was motivated by racial or religious hatred. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. And today is a big day in Chapel Hill for another reason as well.
The greatest patriarch of all time is being laid to rest today.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07, we have 31 degrees in Chapel Hill and the beginning of a cold day, partly sunny today. There is a slight chance of a sprinkle in the afternoon. Breezy today, our high today in the upper 40s, and then during the afternoon hours, our temperatures will fall gradually into about 41 or 42 by the end of the day. And then tonight, it really gets cold. Mostly clear and colder with a little all the way down to 17, and the wind chill will be a real factor. We'll have gusts up to 35 miles per hour this evening. That's going to make it seem like it's down close to zero. So a really cold weather is on the way. Thousands filled the pit at the University of North Carolina on a chilly Wednesday night to pay tribute to three young Muslim college students who were gunned down the previous day in Chapel Hill, allegedly over a parking dispute. Many, however, say they believe 46-year-old Craig Stephen Hicks committed a hate crime. WCHL's Danny Hooley was there at the vigil and has this report.
The vigil began with UNC dental students in their white coats standing together in the center of the pit and holding candles in remembrance of their classmate Diashadi Barakat, his wife Yusur Muhammad Abu Salah, and her sister Razan Muhammad Abu Salah. There were several speakers, including town and university leaders and friends and family of the three shooting victims. UNC Chancellor Carol Folt thanked everyone for coming out, including busloads of students from NC State and NC Central universities.
As is often the case at a time of tragedy, when you think that you're going to reach out to try to help people, you find that the people you're trying to help are the ones that, in fact, help you. That has been my experience today as I've talked with groups of students, with faculty, with Imam Abdullah, sitting in and watching the prayer ceremony, and even coming here tonight.
NC State Chancellor Randy Woodson said it was a day to remember the three young students for all they were, all they wanted to be, and what they could have been.
Tonight, we remember Razan, an amazing design student at NC State, an amazing breath of fresh air for the college and for that school. Yassar, an outstanding biology student at NC State, that was so excited, having only been married for 6 weeks, to begin her journey in the dental school here at Carolina. And Dia, if you've met Dia, you know that this is a man that possessed the most amazing bear hug that you could ever experience.
Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt told the crowd that he appeared before them with a broken heart. The mayor paid an emotional tribute to the victims and to the town he said they exemplified.
This community, this university, this town is a welcoming town. It's a compassionate town. It's a peace-loving town. I know this for at least three important reasons. Because the three souls we lost helped not only create but sustain that truth about who we are as a community.
Imam Abdullah Entepli, the chief representative for Muslim affairs at Duke University, said that in his 25 years of studying theology and philosophy, he's never read the passage in any book that could make sense of a tragedy like this. Still, he offered words of hope in troubled times.
Three cruel, hateful bullets snuffed out lives that were just coming to fruition. We cannot undo the hatred. We cannot undo the hate crime. We cannot undo the bullet. I hope we're able to leave here with the faith that at the end of the day, knowledge is somehow more luminous than ignorance. That justice is more beautiful than tyranny. And that most important lesson of all, that love is more divine than hatred.
Dia Barakat's brother Faris said he's comforted by his belief that the victims have gone to paradise, where they are elated and happy. He echoed the Imam's call for peace and tolerance here on earth.
If it is quite possible that this was an act based off of evil and a scared, ignorant man, do not let ignorance propagate in your life. Do not reply to ignorance with ignorance.
Chapel Hill couple Chris and Abby Fulton told WCHL that they came out to show support for the families of the victims.
Three people being brutally murdered so close to home.
Yeah. It's just so sad. It's like the least you can do is come out and say, this is horrifying. I'm here to say this is horrifying and to show you, like, I'm one among many who want to surround you with love from your community as much as possible.
Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
A lot of people wondering about funeral services for those victims, and funerals for the victims will be held at 1:30 this afternoon at the Islamic Center in Raleigh. Again, 1:30 this afternoon at the Islamic Center in Raleigh. Police say the motive from their preliminary investigation points to an ongoing dispute over parking. Of course, a lot of people are jumping to other conclusions. More information is being released by Chapel Hill Police following the shooting that left those three students dead. 911 calls from the scene were released early Wednesday afternoon.
Orange County 911, what's the address of the emergency?
This is Finley Forest. I was getting dropped off from the bus stop from the Friday Center, and I walked the back way into the neighborhood, and as I was going around the...
Finley Forest Drive, ma'am?
I'm not sure. I think it was off of Summer Walk Circle in Finley Forest. I heard about 8 shots go off in an apartment. I don't know the number. About 3 girls, or at least more than 1 girl screaming, and then there was nothing, and then I heard about 3 more shots go off. And I've never heard gunshots before like that.
Another caller reported nearly a dozen gunshots and multiple screams.
Orange County 911, what's the address of your emergency?
Hi there. I'm walking through the Finley Forest Department complex in Chapel Hill, and I just heard gunshots. I don't know what building it came from, but I heard kids screaming.
How long did you hear it?
Probably 30 seconds ago.
Okay, how many shots did you hear?
Multiple. I mean, at least between 5 and 10, I would say. But I didn't see anything. I mean, I just heard it, and was close enough, I could hear kids screaming.
When you say the screaming, were they screaming words, or...?
No, just screaming, and it was multiple voices.
Chapel Hill Police technically have jurisdiction over the investigation, since it was at Finley Forest, a Chapel Hill address, but it falls within Durham County. That's one of the strange things about our community. Part of Chapel Hill is in Orange County. Part of it is in Durham County. But the court proceedings will go forward in Durham County Court. A press conference was held on Wednesday afternoon with Durham District Attorney Roger Eccles, U.S. Attorney Ripley Rand, Chapel Hill Police Chief Chris Blue, Abdullah Antipla, Director of Muslim Affairs at Duke University. Rand says his office is serving in an advisory role.
There have been a number of comments on social media, both here in North Carolina and throughout the world. There's been a lot of reporting about this. I did want to make sure that folks knew that based on all the information that our office and that law enforcement has at this time, that the events of yesterday are not part of a targeted campaign against Muslims in North Carolina or anything other than an individual event that occurred. We don't have any information that this is part of an organized effort against Muslims, and I did want to address some comments made on social media about that and to make sure that people know that this appears at this point to have been an isolated incident. I'll now turn it over to Chief Blue to make comments as well.
As you heard from Mr. Rand, this investigation is in its beginning stages. We recognize it's not very satisfying when we don't take questions right now, but we do not want to do anything to jeopardize what is shaping up to be a very strong investigation. I do think it's important for you to see us here today and see all of these partners here together. We recognize there is global interest in this story, and this is an important opportunity to reassure everyone and every community that we are going to exhaust every possible lead, use every resource we possibly can to be sure that this case comes to its appropriate conclusion. Our hearts go out to the families involved, and we will do our very best for you. Thank you.
My name is Imam Abdullah Antepti, Muslim chaplain at Duke University. I don't speak on behalf of anyone, any institution or the family, but I speak as an informed member of the local Muslim community. I am in touch with the law enforcement officials, whom I have full trust, as well as several members of the family. And I just came from UNC campus, where Chancellor Folt had an hour meeting with the members of the Muslim Student Association on campus. It's a sad day. It's a very tragic day. Regardless of the motivation of this murder, I think the first thing to be said is the deep condolences to Muhammad and the Barakat family. At this point, investigation is undergoing, and I hope anybody and everybody will trust the system and will refrain from any statement or action to jump into any kind of conclusion. This may or may not be a hate crime, personal speaking, because there are evidence in either direction at this point. But saying either this way or that way will be only unhelpful, and it will increase the tension already exist. Both law enforcement as well as the UNC officials deeply respectful and admirably acknowledging the vulnerable and sensitive situation of the Muslim community, and they have been extremely helpful and respectful in that regard. I hope as a community, as a North Carolinians, we will turn this into a moment of grief, as well as support and solidarity with one another. Thank you very much.
Again, that's part of a press conference yesterday, and we have a lot more news on this tragic story coming up throughout the morning here on WCHL. I repeat earlier, funerals for the victims will be held at 1:30 today at the Islamic Center in Raleigh. Funerals for those three victims to be held at 1:30 this afternoon at the Islamic Center in Raleigh. More details on this story coming up throughout the morning here. It is 7:18. Time now to take a quick look at traffic and weather together. And with traffic, here is Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. We do have a disabled bus. It's on the shoulder of 40 East at Farrington Road, which is in between 15501 and 54. So just use a little extra caution through there. Otherwise, it's looking pretty good on 54 eastbound as you head towards the 40 access. A little crowded in spots, and 40 eastbound starting to pick up with some busy traffic from Highway 54 out to the airport exits. If you see anything while traveling, you could be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
All right, thanks so much. The 17th Annual Orange County Agricultural Summit will be held on Monday from 8 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon. Five-hour event. To register, visit orangecountync.gov. Now, your Chapel Hill Carborough weather looks like this. It's 31 degrees, so a little frosty this morning. May have a little frost on your windshield. So allow yourself a little extra time to defrost your car and all that sort of thing before you get going, before you hit the highway. Partly sunny today. A chance of sprinkles in the afternoon. Just a little rain shower activity. It's going to be breezy throughout the afternoon. We'll go up to about 48 degrees during the early afternoon hours, and then temperatures will start to fall. They will decline all the way down into the low 40s by the end of the day. It's going to be very windy tonight. Mostly clear, colder, low down around 17 degrees. And with the wind blowing the way it is, we'll have gust up to 35 miles per hour. Windshield values as low as 5 above. Tomorrow, partly sunny, cooler with a high in the middle 30s. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace is where you can go and fuel up at the beginning of each day. With Cruisers Fresh Brewed Beans Cafe Coffee, Cappuccino, and Hot Chocolate, make it your way every day. Guaranteed to taste great. At Cruisers, good to go. It is 7:20 at WCHL. Good morning.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial position is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. Our station website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen anywhere in the world with live streaming. This is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. 97.9 FM, 1360 AM, WCHL.
Good morning. It is 7:20. Our community has been rocked by the events of Tuesday. The wife of Craig Stephen Hicks, the man arrested Tuesday night and charged with first-degree murder in the shooting death of three students, denies that her husband was motivated by racial or religious hatred. Karen Hicks stood outside her home with attorneys Rob Maitland and Michelle English of Maitland Law Firm in Chapel Hill on Wednesday afternoon to speak to reporters. She and her attorneys all insisted that Craig Hicks was simply angry about long-standing parking issues in the Findlay Forest neighborhood where those shootings took place. And we will have that coming up for you in just a little while here on WCHL, the comments of Karen Hicks and the attorneys. You can hear the press conference on our website at chapelboro.com. Many in Chapel Hill are still searching for answers after what happened on Tuesday. Police maintain that the motive for the shooting was the ongoing parking dispute between a frustrated resident and neighbors. Others are concerned racial tensions and religious tensions may have made the victims targets. WCHL's Aaron Keck spoke with Robert Dunham, pastor of University Presbyterian Church, who was a clergy member delivering a statement on the incident.
As leaders of faith communities in Chapel Hill, we deplore the senseless killing of Deah Shadi Barakat, Yusor Muhammad, and Razan Muhammad Abu Saleh, and we share in the profound grief of their families. An attack on any of God's children, our sisters and brothers, is an attack on us all. We renew our pledge to continue the vital work of fostering mutual understanding and respect that cross all lines of difference.
And this was signed by pastors and faith leaders at University Presbyterian, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, the Church of Reconciliation, the United Church of Chapel Hill, University UMC, Chapel of the Cross, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, University Baptist Church. I think there are a couple of others as well.
We've added, Rabbi Jen Feldman from Kahila Synagogue and leaders from the Gathering Church and St. Luke AME Zion Church.
Who initially wrote the statement?
We were all in a flurry of emails this morning, and I proposed to write just a brief statement. It's been edited a couple of times, but that is it was essentially a group effort.
So how, as we've been talking about the motives behind the killing, Chapel Hill police saying that it was, and you heard this on CBS, that appears to have stemmed over nothing more than just a dispute over parking, which is senseless. There are people in the community, and this was the initial reaction based on the fact that all three victims were Muslims, based on the fact that Craig Hicks's Facebook page was full of sort of anti-religious sentiment, that this was a hate crime or something that's motivated by anti-Muslim sentiment, which is equally senseless. How, as people of faith, do we respond to this?
Well, I think our view is we don't know what the motives were. But we do know that within the Muslim community, there's a deep sense that this was a targeted act. And so our attempt here was simply to stand in solidarity with our Muslim brothers and sisters and say, this is senseless, it is pointless, and so much loss of life here, so much potential lost, and we grieve that.
And I spoke with Ibrahim Hooper, who is the spokesman for CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, who was sort of skeptical earlier today that this sort of crime could be committed over something as simple as a parking violation. And I wish I could be as optimistic as that about the human condition, but like any motive you ascribe to this is going to be equally horrible.
It is a horrific act. under any circumstance, and regardless of the motive. We grieve with their families. That was one primary motive. The other was to say that, not knowing what it was, we wanted to stand with our Muslim sisters and brothers.
Good morning. It is 7:25 at WCHL. Coming up in the next little while here, we'll have the audio from a promotional video that Dia Shadi Barakat is on. He was a second-year dental student at Carolina, one of 10 students selected to travel from the UNC School of Dentistry to Turkey to help provide dental services to refugees there. We'll have that coming up for you in a few minutes. Also, reaction from folks on Franklin Street and much more information in regards to the press conferences that were held yesterday and the comments of the wife of the accused shooter coming up as well. Today is another very serious day in Chapel Hill for a totally different reason. Services for legendary UNC basketball head coach Dean Smith are being held today. The family is having a private church service. I emphasize the word private. This is only for immediate family and those in the Carolina basketball family, including players, coaches, team managers, all that sort of thing over the years. And the family actually asked that that remain a private church service. The university has asked the public to respect the family's wishes regarding today's service, as space will be very limited. You can imagine how many people would want to go. The University of North Carolina will celebrate the life of Coach Dean Smith during a public memorial service at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, February 22nd. That is a week from Sunday. And where else but the Dean Smith Center? The public, fans, and everybody who cared about Coach Smith are all invited to attend that event. Again, that's the 22nd. The private memorial service is being held today at the Smith Family Church. They ask that everybody respect their privacy for that. And we're going to turn now to Art Chansky for his thoughts on what's happening today.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The greatest patriarch of all time is being laid to rest today. This is Art Chansky with Thursday Sports Notebook. I was talking with a few of Dean Smith's players who are in town for his private service before the graveside ceremony today, and we were contemplating all the attributes of this man's life and career. There are so many of them. The wins, 879 when he retired in 1997 as the Division I basketball coach with the most career victories. The 17 ACC regular season titles, the next closest is 12, and more than 30 consecutive years finishing on the top three of the ACC standings. The 13 ACC tournament championships, 11 Final Fours, and 2 NCAA crowns, the NIT championship in 1971 when it meant something special, and the Olympic gold medal in 1976. And, of course, the one the Naismith Hall of Famer was most proud of, a 95%+ graduation rate for his players. Those were all special for sure, but we settled on something less tangible, but more important. From adopting Frank McGuire's former players when he took over as head coach at Carolina in 1961, Smith built the longest sustained and most enduring family for more than a half century and counting, the fabled Carolina basketball family. Name a coach in any sport we discussed that is even close to having the love and loyalty among those adopted players, the more than 250 lettermen he had in his teams, and those who have played for his successors, Bill Guthridge, Matt Doherty, and most amazingly, Roy Williams, because the current Tar Heels were just being born when Smith retired. But Marcus Page is on a testimonial video this week saying he never really knew Coach Smith, but how he feels like he is partly playing for him by all of that has been passed down from Coach Williams. Name any coach anywhere who is even close. Vince Lombardi? No, he only coached the Green Bay Packers for 9 years, and of the five coaches who followed him, only two were his former players. Maybe Red Auerbach, who coached the Boston Celtics to 9 NBA titles, comes the closest because he was succeeded by 5 of his former players. But the Celtics are in no way still Red's family today. Perhaps the coach at Duke, who has built a record to match and maybe surpass Smith on the floor, but who is to follow him and how long will that last? No, Dean Smith is honored by the greatest living legacy in the history of sports, most of whom are here today to celebrate that unparalleled achievement. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
1 and 2.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary 4-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with the life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing and we can say we knew her when. Visit unccchildrens.org.
Did you know that North Carolina is the birthplace of the physician assistant profession? That's why it makes perfect sense that North Carolina would have PAs that are leading the march to increase patient access to quality health care. Physician assistants are transforming health through equitable delivery of patient-centered, team-based care. The North Carolina Academy of Physician Assistants supports PAs and their efforts to improve patient care and provides continuing education so that PAs can be leaders in their field. For more information, check out ncapa.org.
WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather, 32 degrees right now. Partly sunny, chance of sprinkles this afternoon, a slight one. It's going to be breezy, our high today in the upper 40s, and the temperatures will start to fall. We'll be down to about 40 by the end of the day. Very windy tonight, gust up to 35 miles per hour, clear skies, cold temperatures, lows tonight about 17 degrees. The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. It's a favorite place for gourmet cuisine.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
A deal has been made that could stop the shelling and shooting in eastern Ukraine. Russia's Vladimir Putin talked about it in Minsk. Hours and hours of discussions resulted in a ceasefire that will begin on Sunday. But there are still unanswered questions, according to Sky's Stuart Ramsey.
The movement of heavy weapons, how far back they go, the demilitarized zone, what size that is, where exactly it is, we're not clear of from what has been said today.
But the key is the upcoming ceasefire.
If that holds, then that's better for everyone in the region, and perhaps the process by which these other issues are addressed can get underway while there is no fighting. But that is a real if, because you have to assume that the governments can control those who are fighting on the ground. And I have to say, from my experience, that isn't the case at all.
In the past few hours, a military official in Kiev says about 50 tanks, 40 missile systems, and 40 armored vehicles crossed from Russia into eastern Ukraine. CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732, 31 degrees in Chapel Hill and the beginning of some really cold weather. That will come tonight. It's going to be incredibly windy tonight as well. Strong wind gust up to 35 miles per hour and low tonight about 17 degrees. Wind chill factor will make it seem like it's about 5 degrees. Funerals for the victims of the shooting on Tuesday will be held at 1:30 this afternoon at the Islamic Center of Raleigh. And again, on another note, services for Carolina head basketball coach Dean Smith are being held today. The family has a private church service planned for today. They ask that that remain private with the immediate family and the Carolina basketball family. And then, of course, the university will celebrate the life of Coach Dean Smith during a public memorial service at 2 o'clock on Sunday, February 22nd. Where else but in the Dean Smith Center. Now back to our story today about the tragic events of earlier in the week. The wife of Craig Stephen Hicks, the man arrested on Tuesday night and charged with first-degree murder in the shooting death of three Muslim students, denies that her husband was motivated by racial or religious hatred. There are a lot of people who feel otherwise. Karen Hicks stood outside her home with attorneys Rob Maitland and Michelle English of Maitland Law Firm in Chapel Hill on Wednesday afternoon, speaking to reporters. She and her attorneys all insisted that Craig Hicks was simply angry about longstanding parking issues in the Findlay Forest neighborhood where the shootings took place.
First of all, I want to express my deepest sympathy and condolences for the victims. While the official investigation is still ongoing, I am cooperating with the authorities and intend to provide whatever information and assistance I can and provide to them. While I am unable to comment fully on the matter, I can say with my absolute belief that this incident had nothing to do with religion or victims' faith, but in fact was related to the long-standing parking disputes that my husband had with the neighbors. And our neighbors are various religions, races, and creeds. At this point, I do humbly ask that everybody focus on the victim and their families. and please grant us privacy during this difficult time. I was going to say I work full-time, and he was going to school full-time. That was his job. He was enrolled in a paralegal program at Durham Tech and was due to graduate this May. We were married for 7 years, and that is one thing that I do know about him. He often champions on his Facebook page for the rights of many individuals, for same-sex marriages, abortion, race. He just believed, and I know that's just one of the things I know about him, is everyone is equal. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you look like or who you are or what you believe. That's one thing I do know about him.
Mr. Hicks had a long-standing issue in the Finley Forest neighborhood with their parking regulations. He had attempted to address those issues with the homeowners associations on numerous occasions, unsuccessfully, and that is all public record. And that is why Mrs. Hicks believes that this incident was related to the parking. It is a simple matter. It has nothing to do with the religious faith of the victims. It has nothing to do with terrorism. It has nothing to do with anything but the mundane issue of this man being frustrated day in and day out with not being able to park where he wanted to park. And unfortunately, these victims were there at the wrong time at the wrong place. And my personal opinion is that this highlights the importance of access to mental health care services and us removing in our society the stigma for people to ask for that type of help when they need it. It's not, I would say, normal or within the range of normal behavior for someone to shoot three people over parking issues.
Yeah. I think from what Mrs. Hicks has told us, that her husband did have a concealed weapons permit. He was lawfully carrying a gun. And he was a champion for Second Amendment rights. He believed strongly in them and the constitutionality behind those. And so I think that's, as far as that goes, what we can say on that issue at this time. I don't think Mrs. Hicks viewed anything that led her to believe that anything like this would ever happen. And so I don't think at this point we can make any further comment, as we're not really aware of what led to this or why this actually happened on his behalf.
As Mrs. Hicks stated in her statement, this was a complete surprise to her. She was aware of her husband's long-standing frustration with the parking issues in their neighborhood. And the importance of this press conference today is to make sure that the message gets out, because in some places the message has been focused solely on the victim's religious beliefs. And the important thing is, and we hope that this press conference brings some relief, some solace to the situation, in that it has nothing to do with the victim's religious beliefs. It had everything to do with a mundane parking spot dispute. At this time, it's our belief that this had nothing to do with any kind of particular relationship with those victims. Mr. Hicks had a problem with many of his neighbors, various neighbors, and it really had nothing to do with any of these particular neighbors.
Again, that is the voice of Rob Maitland. He and Michelle English of the Maitland Law Firm in Chapel Hill. And you also heard from the wife of the accused, Karen Hicks. You can hear the full press conference on our website, chapelbro.com, along with a lot of other information there. University and town leaders gathered at UNC to express their sorrow over the deaths of the three Muslim students on Wednesday night. There was a big vigil. Again, we have a full story on that from Danny Hooley. And if you missed it this morning, you can get it on our website, chapelbro.com. A representative of Muslim Affairs at Duke University said this triple murder is another sign of rising tensions against Islam. For details, here is WCHL's Jeff Hamlin.
Chancellors from UNC, NC State, North Carolina Central, and two representatives from Duke University gathered for a press conference about the slayings of Diyar Barakat, Yusuf Muhammad, and Razan Muhammad Abu Salah. UNC System President Tom Ross says the loss of students' lives is the most difficult thing for teachers to deal with.
I don't know of anything that is more difficult to experience than the loss of a young life, because there's so much hope and so many dreams that die with them. As educators, we see their hopes and dreams every day. And when we lose a young life, it hits really hard.
UNC Chancellor Carol Folt says the murders have brought college students from across the triangle together.
There are students from Chapel Hill, from all the schools that will be here. We also have busloads of students that are coming to us from Duke, from NCCU. Many students from NC State are coming here tonight, and we're going to try to do the same and go back and have another vigil at State tomorrow. And I think, again, this is not only what we want to do today, but we want that to be the path for how we work together on these really important issues about our future.
Abdullah Antepoli, the chief representative of Muslim Affairs at the Duke Islamic Studies Center, says local Muslims are scared because of what he feels is increasing anti-Muslim rhetoric.
That's absolutely the case, that rising anti-Islam and anti-Muslim sentiment in American society has revealed its one of its ugliest faces over this incident.
Antepoli says he received a number of phone calls from Muslim parents on Wednesday morning purely for their own safety and the safety of their children.
There are several hundred Muslim families in the greater Chapel Hill area, including myself. We didn't send our children to school today. Before we wanted to know what was going on. We wanted to find out more factual information on the ground. The sense of alienation, the sense of vulnerability, I cannot describe. The sense of hundreds of parents calling me, Duke University student parents, and the Chapel Hill community parents, is it safe to send my children to school?
Jeff Hamlin, 97.9 FM, WCHF.
Thanks, Jeff. At another press conference, Suzanne Barakat delivered a statement from her family on Wednesday afternoon following the death of her brother, his wife, and sister-in-law.
6 weeks ago, I cried tears of joy at my baby brother's wedding. Today, we are crying tears of unimaginable pain over the execution-style murders of my brother Dia, his bride Yusuf, and her younger sister and best friend Razan. Luya, at 23, a second-year dental student at UNC, was well known for his all-embracing kindness, lightheartedness, dedication to community service, love for basketball, and anything Steph Curry. Yusuf, 21, who was on track to join him at UNC Dental in the fall, matched his gentle demeanor, had a calming presence, and she and Liat found in one another a kindred spirit. Razan, at only 19, was tremendously gifted, studying architecture, incredibly creative, giving, generous, and a loyal friend. They were gems of their communities and left a lasting impression on the people around them. They inspired us. They served as role models to the youth. We ask that you celebrate the memories of our family members. We are still in a state of shock and will never be able to make sense of this horrendous tragedy. We appreciate your concerns and the outpouring of love and support from our neighbors, student community, and the community at large. We ask that the authorities investigate these senseless and heinous murders as a hate crime. We also ask that you respect our privacy during this difficult time. Thank you. We will not be taking questions.
Again, that is Suzanne Barakat, the sister of the young man who was killed on Tuesday, and she was delivering a statement from her family. Now, we mentioned earlier, 23-year-old Dia Shadi Barakat, the young man she was talking about, is one of the students who was killed. He was a second-year dental student at Carolina. Barakat was one of 10 students selected to travel from the UNC School of Dentistry to Turkey to help provide dental services to refugees. Here is Barakat in a promotional video.
My name is Dia Barakat. I'm a dental student at UNC, and I need your help. Have you ever felt helpless about the situation in Syria and felt like you can't do anything about it? Well, this is your opportunity to help. This summer, I'm embarking on a trip to Turkey with 10 dentists to help Syrian refugee students in need of urgent dental care. We'll be doing extractions, fillings, root canals, and oral hygiene instruction to those most in need. We'll also focus on prevention. We'll be passing out toothbrushes and toothpaste within refugee camps so that we can eliminate the problem before it begins. We need your help to raise funds for these supplies and equipment, 100% of which will benefit the refugees. These kids don't have access to the same health care as us, and their prolonged pain can easily be taken care of with the work that we do. But we need the proper funding. So let's relieve their pain. If you want to make a difference in the life of a child most in need, then I urge you to take advantage of this opportunity. Every dollar goes a long way. Thank you for your support and help. And please, pass this on.
That is the voice of 23-year-old Dia Shadi Barakat, who was killed in Tuesday's shooting. You can find a link to donate in our story on chapelbrew.com. WCHL News Time is 7:45. It is 31 degrees this morning. It's cold. Probably a little frost on your windshield this morning. Allow yourself a little extra time. Nikki Morse is here, and Nikki is going to take a look at morning traffic in just a moment here. But let me just say that we have a variety of stories, a lot of audio. You will hear the voices of a lot of people on our website. Go to chapelbrew.com, click on all the stories there, a big selection. The press conferences, comments from police officials, other officials. Mayor Mark Kleinsmith is there. Comments from United Ministries of Durham, Franklin Street reactions, all of that. It's impossible to get it all in the newscast, but we have a variety of things on our website, chapelbrew.com, so check it out. Coming up next on WCHL, we will have today's commentary. It's about something totally different from Brian Thornburg. That is on the way at 7:46.
This is Dr. Adam Goldstein with Your Health Radio and the University of North Carolina Department of Family Medicine. Do you worry about getting the care you need because you don't have health insurance? Do you have a pre-existing condition or think you can't afford it? The Affordable Care Act provides individuals who qualify with financial assistance for purchasing health insurance. Open enrollment is now through February 15th, so check out your options on www.healthcare.gov or call 919-545-3440.
Tar Heel fans, Cruisers Convenience Marketplace wants to give you two tickets and a VIP experience to the Carolina Duke game at the Smith Center on March 7th. One lucky winner will receive two tickets to the big game, a pregame reception, photos on the court, and more. To enter, sign up for or use the ExxonMobil Smart Card at any Cruisers location between now and February 24th. Details and more ways to enter at cruisers.net/Smith Center.
Where do you go from here? It's amazing what you can find in your own backyard. Whether you need a springboard to a bachelor's degree or a second chance at success, Durham Technical Community College has provided high-quality, affordable, and convenient technical and career education for the citizens of Durham and Orange County since 1961. Just visit durhamtech.edu or call 919-536-7200 and find out just how far you can go. Durham Tech. Do great things.
It is 31 degrees, maybe a little frosty where you are. Good morning. It is 7:47.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Brian Thornburg. I don't know about you, but I love a mystery. A compelling story that slowly resolves, clue by clue, to keep you on the edge of your seat until the thrilling conclusion. But there's a mystery in North Carolina that isn't compelling. It's actually frustrating and concerning, but it is keeping us on the edge of our seats. Back in January, UNC System President Tom Ross was either fired or forced to resign by the Board of Governors. It's not clear which. So why the need to change? Board Chair John Fenebresk praised Ross up and down and ruled out Ross's age, work ethic, etc. as possible clues for the move. When asked about a possible political motive, Mr. Fenebresk hedged and never said yes or no. Over the last few gerrymandered years, the makeup of the board has swung from a balance of D's and R's to nearly all Republican. Mr. Ross is a known Democrat, though moderately so. Could it be that former budget director Art Pope wants to control the UNC system? He's been behind the budget cuts for all public education. He's been critical of UNC, and there are enough clues to think he'd like to steer UNC in the opposite direction. I believe William Friday, Frank Porter Graham, and yes, even Dean Smith would be aghast at this prospect. For the record, Mr. Pope hasn't publicly stated that he's not seeking the job. That clue may be true, but even Sherlock Holmes would tell you that he hasn't said that he wouldn't take the job if it were offered. So how will this mystery end? Like Sherlock said, the game is afoot. I don't know about you, but I've seen enough clues that I'm on the edge of my seat, but the conclusion sure doesn't feel like it'll be thrilling. This is Brian Thornburg.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Al LeBeau, Cedars member since 2012. Here's what Al had to say.
People wait too long before they go into a retirement community, and all of a sudden they find there's a big, long waiting list to get in. They want to move today, but they should have signed up years ago and gone in. So we tried to cut it off at the pass and go in earlier before we needed to be there. It's really first-class operation. I mean, the food is marvelous. When we have inclement weather, they will bring meals over to you, and it's just one of those services we find phenomenal. It seems like there's no end to what you can order. Like, if you want two scoops of ice cream, it isn't an extra charge. My wife and I are from the New York metropolitan area, and while we're in Cedars, we are so centrally located, it's just a hop and a skip to the airport. You got great hospitals within easy reach, and of course, there's always the sports activities that you have between, should I mention it, Duke and Chapel Hill.
Thanks, Al. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
Glass Half Full is the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop in the heart of downtown Carrboro. You can meet your friends for a delicious lunch or dinner of skillfully prepared contemporary American cuisine, browse the wine shop for an intriguing bottle to take home, or just relax at the beautiful candlelit bar with a spicy margarita or frosty craft beer. Glass Half Full, good food, fine wine, and lots of fun too. Visit us online at glasshalffullcarrboro.com.
Good morning, 751 WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. Time now to take a look at traffic and weather together. And we'll start with traffic. Here is Nikki Morse.
Have a bus that's disabled. It's on the shoulder of 40 East at Farrington. That's between 15501 and Highway 54. So just use a little extra caution driving through there. Northbound Fordham Boulevard starting to crowd. Expect some crowded conditions as you approach Manning Drive and Highway 54. 40 Eastbound also starting to fill up with some crowded lanes between 751 and Fayetteville. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Call us at 967-8363 or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Thank you, Nikki, and we're going to turn now to your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather on this rather difficult day. A lot of folks with a heavy heart today, and let me tell you what the weather is going to be like. Rather cold out there. It is 31 degrees in Chapel Hill, partly sunny. Chance of rain showers this afternoon, just a really sprinkling activity. It's going to be breezy. Our high today about 48 degrees, and we'll reach that probably in the early afternoon, maybe around lunchtime, a little later, and then temperatures will fall into the low 40s. By the end of the day, it's going to be windy starting later in the afternoon. And then tonight, mostly clear, colder, with a low down around 17 degrees. And because of the winds, it's going to be blowing at about 35 miles per hour in gusts. The wind chill values will come into play. It'll feel like it's about 5 degrees tonight. Tomorrow, partly sunny and cooler with a high in the middle 30s. Did you know that Town Hall Burger and Beer is located on Highway 751 across from the streets at South Point? It's a perfect place to pick your own patty, bun, and sauces and be in and out in only 20 minutes. Town Hall Burger and Beer. Coming up on WCHL, we're going to skip the word of the day today and also the clean joke of the day. It's just not one of those days where we feel like joking around a little bit. But we do have our WCHL hometown hero coming your way in just a couple of minutes.
Does size matter? Does how big it is matter? From diamonds to trucks to homes to you name it, does size matter? Well, sometimes it does. Sometimes bigger is better. Sometimes big is best. But the reason to give her something very special on Valentine's Day, something that is actually very, very small, is because size, S-I-G-H-S, because size matter. I'm Berkeley Grimble of Grimble Jewelers. What matters most on Valentine's Day is her reaction. What matters is surprising her with a gift that she might hope for but never expects. It's loving her with a gift that brings on that gasp of delight, followed by those sighs. It's those sighs that fall quietly from her lips to tell you how much she loves your gift. And really, it's those sighs that tell you how loved she feels by you. And that, my friend, means everything to her. So come see us at Grimble Jewelers. We'll help you find something very nice for your Valentine. And why a gift so nice? Because sighs matter. Grimble Jewelers, because we are hardwired to love small, shiny objects.
Ron. Did you know the second most common New Year's resolution is to quit smoking cigarettes? And we at the Vapor Girl family want to help all those folks make their resolution a reality.
That's great. Smoking-related illnesses kill 250,000 people a year.
And we want to reduce that number to zero as soon as possible. Our customers have quit cigarettes and stayed quit with the Vapor Girl. So we know our premium e-juice, high-quality products, and super helpful customer service can help thousands more get off cigarettes for good.
Just go to thevaporgirl.com and click on retail vapor bar locations.
When you save money and join the 97% of people who are satisfied with GEICO, it can give you goosebumps. But why do we get goosebumps? How did the human brain decide that mimicking the skin of a freshly plucked bird was an appropriate response to excitement? Some human behaviors don't make sense. And some do, like switching to GEICO, which people have been doing for over 75 years. And that gives me goosebumps.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Couple of quick notes for you today. Funerals for the victims of Tuesday's shooting will be held at 1:30 on Thursday, 1:30 today, this afternoon, at the Islamic Center in Raleigh. Again, that is at the Islamic Center in Raleigh at 1:30 today. And services for our legendary UNC basketball head coach, Dean Smith, are being held today. The family will have a private church service. I emphasize the word private. The family is asked that it remain private with immediate family and friends, and also the Carolina basketball family, which encompasses a lot. And the university asked the public to respect the family's wishes regarding today's private church service. Space will be limited, as you can imagine. Now, the university has made plans to celebrate the life of Coach Smith during a public memorial service at 2 p.m. on Sunday, February 22nd. That is a week from Sunday, 9 days away, in the Dean Smith Center. The public, fans, and everybody who cared about Coach Smith were invited to attend that event. And, of course, there's plenty of seating there. Where else but in the Dean Smith Center? Good morning. It is 7:56 at WCHL.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for trivia.
All right. We have today's hometown hero on WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Don Ayler is a distinguished professor of music at the university. He's a clarinetist, a chamber musician, and a conductor. He's an accomplished professor at Carolina, but today we're honoring him as our WCHL hometown hero because of his work with mentoring and leading the Chapel Hill Philharmonia.
The Chapel Hill Philharmonia is a totally community-based organization. We've been here on campus actually for 32 years.
Wow.
And it's an organization that is really of the community. It's organic in its growth because it started with members of the university faculty, music faculty, and community members to just to get together and do some reading and enjoy the best of the repertoire for the orchestra. And now it's grown to an organization of about 80. Mm-hmm. And we traditionally give 4 concerts each year. This year in our February concert has traditionally been an opportunity to really celebrate our relationship with the university and to promote and give our members of the orchestra an opportunity to shine outside of the orchestra.
For Don Ayler, the Chapel Hill Philharmonia is a labor of love, and he always gets excited to tell folks about it.
I do. It is a labor of love, but I tell you, it's an opportunity for me each week to stand in front of a terrific group of people. And I have to tell you, these folks are good. They play for the love of it. That's what Philharmonia means. They really work at this, and I feel I can really go after them. Sorry, folks, but I can because they respond, and they really are a wonderful orchestra. I just can't say enough about the people in this group.
If this makes any sense, you may know some of these musicians. You just don't know it.
These are your teachers, your doctors, your friends, your colleagues, of your neighbors, people you see on Franklin Street. I mean, they come from a bit further out. They come from around the Triangle area. And you know, the Triangle area is just a very rich cultural area, mm-hmm. especially in the performing arts. I mean, we can go on and on about all the wonderful orchestras that come to the area through various means. And we have an award-winning student orchestra on campus. But the Philharmonia is truly the only totally community orchestra. These people actually pay to play. There's a little bit of a fee, a donation fee that they play to take care of our funds. And they are good, I got to tell you.
Want to find out more about the Chapel Hill Philharmonia?
just type in Chapel Hill Philharmonia, and you will come up with us, and all the information will be right there.
He's an award-winning music professor at Carolina, and he's music director of Chapel Hill Philharmonia because he loves it. Don Ayler, today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Automall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Automall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Automall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
It's cold this morning. It's going to be really cold tonight. Our low temps here tonight down around 17 and some really strong winds as well. So just keep that in mind. It's 8 o'clock.
Ron Stutz in the morning. Progressive talk all day. This is 97.9.